Yeah, and then you reminded me too, you know, where there's no vision, the people perish. Proverbs is crystal clear about that. And so if you don't have, if your lead ministry team and minister doesn't have a clear, repeatable, memorable, concise vision, people will perish in that they literally have nothing to give themselves to. The whole call of the New Testament church is to give yourself away to Christ. But how I do that specifically, you know, I just don't know. I don't know how to do that. Well, your pastor does. Your pastor calls you every Sunday to a specific purpose and vision and calling that God has on you as a member of this local church. Here's what we're doing. Well, welcome to Rescuing Churches, the official podcast. Not that we have anything unofficial in our podcast world, but this is the official podcast of 614 Ministries, and I am the founder of the ministry, and we are here to rescue churches, to encourage pastors, to help lay leaders, and help smaller churches particularly have hope and vision and structure and strength and get healthier. And I've got two healthy guys alongside me to encourage and help that. I want to welcome in Caleb Howell, Howell Baptist Church. Not named after him, but it just works out perfectly that way.
That's right.
It's in the Howell community.
Howell community, Howell Baptist Church, and I live right down the road.
Pastor Caleb Howell. So that worked out real nice. And Caleb's been a good friend for a long time. He serves on 614 with us, and we're grateful to have him. And then Pastor Victor Herman. He is not from Herman Baptist Church. He is from First Baptist Chickasaw, and not going to rename the church after himself like Caleb did. I'm kidding. So
meant to be, Caleb.
That's right. It's meant to be.
Here's your sign.
That's so good.
I'm looking up something. I'll come back in a second.
So, but Victor's the pastor over at Chickasaw, and they've been a revitalizing program for the last couple of years, and 614 has partnered with them. Been a joy to see his heart and service there as a good shepherd for them, and I'm grateful for you two guys being here.
Thank you so much, man. I love you, brother.
Amen.
So, you can move to New Orleans, Louisiana, or Mount Hermon, Louisiana.
You're looking up places there.
Mount Hermon, Louisiana has Mount Hermon Baptist Church.
There you go. There you go. Vic, that's your
call. Or here's you one. This is in Abita Springs, Louisiana, which got Abita Root Beer, by the way. Greater Mount Hermon Baptist Church.
Are you always surprised at what Caleb knows about stuff like where Abita Root Beer comes from?
When he mentioned New Orleans, I wanted to blurt out real quick and say, I am never going to New Orleans, but I don't want to tell God.
That's right.
I am not going to be doing it. I just don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah, you might want to read the story of Jonah before you
do that. Just leave it alone.
Yeah, that's right. Might want to read the story of Jonah. So I want to talk today, guys, about in a smaller church, sometimes we forget the importance of vision casting. And it's a term that leadership has been using for years, and I've been to a bunch of church conferences with big mega churches where that's all they ever talk about. And you think, well, as a little church, what's the point of that, right? We kind of all know what we're doing, and we got this and whatever. But really, the practical idea behind it is getting your people to be focused on what you're trying to accomplish and how you're going to get there. It's literally the archer in me. I love archery. And the archer in me, it's literally like making a bullseye and giving yourself a target. You know, I can shoot my bow all day long. I shoot multiple different kinds of bows. And my long bow and my recurve bow, I need a target the size of a barn most days because I can't hit anything in a bullseye. But I'm aiming at a bullseye. And if I don't have a bullseye, I'm having a good time shooting. It's just never really accomplishing anything. I'm not honing a discipline. I'm not doing all that. But the Lord's real clear in the New Testament about what the purpose and the mission and the vision of the church is supposed to be, whichever of those terms you like to use. We have a clearly established goal to disciple the world. Go and make disciples of all nations. Those would be the unsaved nations, right? It's our highest calling. We talked about this at the pastor's conference down in Louisiana. Vic and I were a part of. Our highest calling as a church is to get that done. And we're to create men and women or equip men and women in our church to do that particular thing. So how we do it, everybody has some different tracks you want to run on, but your core leadership has to know this is what we're trying to accomplish. This is the center goal target is discipleship. And so I want to talk today about just helping our church get a vision and keep a vision and hold a vision. Vision doesn't last very long in people's brains. I'm convinced most people don't remember, and I know this from asking our church family all the time, what's the purpose of our church? And they'll rattle off something that sounds real spiritual, but it's not the words we use at all. So you're like, man, do y'all still not know this after 23 years of me saying it over and over and we print it on things? So having to continually repeat it and say it a lot helps, but having a clear vision helps you. And then I love to come in every year and have a laser-focused purpose for the year that we call our vision for the year that's tied to the bigger vision. And it's always going to be tied to reaching the lost and discipling others. But it's necessary to give us some tracks to run on. This year at Northside, we were I was calling our people to go deeper, stronger, and further, deeper into their own faith life. Don't stay shallow. Stronger in their spiritual warfare, fight the enemy, push him back and resist the enemy, and then take the gospel further into our community. And we've focused our Bible studies. We've focused some of our special classes around that. We've tried to help our people get deeper into their faith, stronger in their spiritual battles. And we've seen fruit from that. So, but when you cast those particular visions that are part of the bigger vision, you also got to have some tracks to run on. So I'm going to throw out a couple of thoughts real quick. I'm not going to dominate this whole time with you guys. Let y'all just listen.
Like all the other podcasts.
Yeah, like I normally do.
Let us talk, Stan. Stan, do you see us over here?
That's right. Hello. We're right here. So, but helping your people have a personalized vision that you, the spiritual leader, have. I think you have to have some one-on-one time with God. That's very important. And my favorite time to do that's deer season, hunting season, the winter or the fall and the winter. I love getting alone in the woods. I love sitting in a tree stand or a deer blind and just meditating on the word of God. Even if it's pouring down rain and I can't get any good hunting in or it's too hot or whatever, I still love that quiet time, isolated from kind of everything, to listen and tune into God. I take notes and journal a lot there, but you have to have some you and God time with lots of prayer and lots of solitude. And I think as pastors, we can easily neglect that because we get so busy. And I'm always asking God, what's our next year's vision? What are we doing next year? That's the specific focus of the bigger vision. And then for me, I have to write it out. Once I get it kind of in my head, I start playing with the words of it and write it out and get some clarity. I'll talk it out with other pastors, sometimes outside my circle first, outside the church family. I'll go to pastors I know from other ministries or even out of state, bounce it off of them, and then they give me feedback, and it helps hone that, right? Then I can bring it in, after it's been critiqued a little bit, I can bring it into my inner circle, our elders, our deacons, and say, guys, I think next year's focus is going to be this. At our staff meeting a few weeks ago here at Northside, I introduced next year's vision for our church, what the core is going to be. I don't have the wording like I want it, but I know the concept. And so I shared the concept with them, and everybody's in agreement. That's a great idea. We need help in that. We need to do better by that. We need help in getting there. So so then I bring in that core team to help think it out and look at practicals. Then you got to start putting stuff on the calendar that makes that a reality. How are we gonna add some things in to align our purpose and our vision and our specific calling with that? And then, you know, finally, we do a vision service in 1st of February. It's like the first of the year. We do a vision service that's kind of meant to launch everybody into this one direction. We believe we're all going together to reach the lost and help people. So. And of course, then there has to be a lot of follow-up to that. You have to remind them over and over what we're doing. You have to say it. I think you print it on everything you print. You get your social media people, my son Josh does a phenomenal job with keeping all that fresh with our church family. But you got to do all that. So those are just some quick thoughts and ideas. trying to dominate the whole time so y'all can't talk. Those are some quick thoughts and ideas on vision casting. And I want to get your feedback on that and your thoughts on it. As a small church, sometimes we forget that it's very important that the people know what we're trying to get done. And in the day-to-day grind, their little crisis can knock you off track of that vision. And it's one of the things we talked about, Vic, down in Louisiana with studying Nehemiah. Nehemiah was very mission-focused. We're going to build this wall. We got enemies attacking us. We got people saying bad things about us. That's okay. We're going to build this wall. So we build. It says in chapter 4, all these people said all these negative things. And he says, so we prayed and we built. And then he says again in chapter 4, then they started shooting arrows at us. They got the army of Samaria to come attack us. So we set up guards, we prayed, and we built. We stayed on the mission. So he was constantly pushing them back to the mission. And that's the really important thing. So what are you guys thinking?
I didn't realize how much that story was about me. So you just said that. So I got that. Now I can take home with me. No, fantastic, though. I'm still new to this. Two years at First Baptist. I'm learning a lot about casting vision from you. But I'm seeing how important it is. And as you're sitting here talking, I'm realizing that We've got a few different solid ministries within inside the church, and I think I want to cast the vision of leaders writing out and casting the vision of where they want that particular ministry to be, so that individually we can start bringing people up, the leaders of those ministries inside the church, and start bringing them up after maybe. When our Thanksgiving dinner at the end of this month, and start doing that. Make sure that everything, that their vision for their ministry is wrapped around the core vision, which is preach the gospel, disciple,
Yeah. Can I give a little backtrack there for a second just to say what you're talking about? I think discipleship is vision casting, and maybe I'm just that C student that makes everything real simple. But I think Christ looked at Peter and said, you're not going to fish for fish anymore. My vision for you is you're fishing for men. And he literally cast a vision for Peter to become a fisher of men that Peter eventually becomes. Now, he stumbled all through it and made a bunch of messes of it and got a little bit of it right here and there. And then he tried to kill a man in the garden and murder a man for Jesus. And then he quit fishing. Quit fishing for men and went back to fishing for fish, and Jesus had to recall him. Either way, when you look at how Jesus discipled people, he was casting new vision for them. And I think as spiritual leaders, especially once you have a couple of years in somebody's life, you can look at that deacon or that young Sunday school teacher or whoever and go, man, I see God taking you to this place. And you're not prophesying some weird thing over them. You're saying, I see God using you, and I want you to dream these dreams with God using you this big. Yeah. And so the individual vision casting, we were talking initially about casting the vision for the big church, for your whole church, but then there's that individual that's important in those individual teams and their goals. So now I interrupt you, but keep going. It's really perfect. Really good stuff.
That's perfect. And it's taking that individual discipleship, the reason why we have other ministries inside the church now that are operating without me tediously over them. So that's happening. Now we want to keep them focused on the general, on the general vision for the entire church. Make sure that we're all the same body, different little members, but we're all taking our orders from the head, which is Christ Jesus. So I definitely see the importance of it and want to get everyone in the church more involved in the general overall vision of the church.
Amen.
And I need to keep over and over and over and over again. So
it's good.
Well, vision casting is important to me just from experience that when a church doesn't have a collective vision, then all your individual ministries in the church, they're going to say, well, this is our vision for this year, and this is our, and then you're divided. Yeah. You got several different things going in different directions. And when division comes up, then you have divisions all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Your priorities are spread out. And a shotgun approach to kingdom work is not a good approach.
Right.
Especially for a small church.
Yeah, Caleb, I heard it described one time at the church in Birmingham where I was serving is, it's like in the old Western days, you got a wagon with a team of 8 horses and you've got a horse tied to every side of the wagon. And you're just, the person in charge doesn't have his own vision. So every horse has his own plan. And when the person in charge goes, let's go. Yeah. They all pull in different directions and it pulls the wagon apart. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
That's why when I was at New Orleans Seminary, Dr. Alan Jackson came up with, the curriculum that eventually became student life, Sunday school material when they were doing that. And the big idea there was everybody that goes to Sunday school at your church needs to be studying the same Bible lesson with the same life principles. So when the family gets out of the car, they divide up in their Sunday school room classes. But when they get back in the car to go home and they're talking about their Sunday school lesson, they've all studied the same thing.
Yeah.
I remember a day where that wasn't the case at all. Somebody was in the Old Testament, somebody was in the New Testament.
Sure. Most churches are that way. They're kind of eclectic like that. But
but
I know that system too well that we're whatever we're doing in one class, the whole curriculum, the education program of our church is built around one curriculum for the year.
Correct.
One goal.
And it just makes sense that your dad needs to talk to his 9-year-old son about the Bible study that they both studied this morning.
Yeah, it's good.
So, but the same thing's true. If you got a children's ministry focused on evangelism, but nobody else in the church is focused on evangelism, how are those children going to go out and effectively reach the lost without everybody else?
Yeah, where are they going
walking alongside them?
Where are they going to see the example?
Where are they going to see the example at?
Yeah, and then you reminded me too. You know, where there's no vision, the people perish. Proverbs crystal clear about that. And so, if you don't have, if your lead ministry team and minister doesn't have a clear, repeatable, memorable, concise vision. People will perish in that they literally have nothing to give themselves to. The whole call of the New Testament church is to give yourself away to Christ. But how I do that specifically, you know, I just don't know. I don't know how to do that. Well, your pastor does. Your pastor calls you every Sunday to a specific purpose and vision and calling that God has on you as a member of this local church. Here's what we're doing. Right. And if your church is heavily focused on reaching homeless or ministering into rehabs, or if your church is focused on ministering to high school kids at the local football games, great. Right. Then that's what we're all doing. And now we have a purpose and a vision that's got some energy behind it. But if the pastor has no vision for that, if he's like, you're just here for Sunday, right? Just be here every Sunday. It doesn't feel like we're going anywhere. Right? Mm-hmm. Right? That's dangerous. And I do think it hurts us in the long run when churches can't express their own vision. Like, why are we here? Well, because the Bible says we're supposed to go to church. We're just at church. But what's our purpose of the church? Right? And you and I know helping some churches that we've reached out to help, a lot of them don't know what their purpose is because they weren't taught. They weren't equipped well or taught. We do have a very specific purpose.
The country club mentality has been there for way too long.
Right.
We're here to see each other.
Yeah, we're here to see each other and hang out. And
I mean,
network.
I've recently heard it in a church, and you was sitting at the table when we heard this statement. What we need in this church is a Bible study.
Yeah, right.
What? You know, like, what?
right.
But she was serious, and she was heartfelt, and she was absolutely correct.
Yeah.
But I was sitting with a guy that's a director of missions over an associational, and he said he stopped visiting churches on Wednesday nights. Part of his duty was to visit churches. And he said because he got tired of embarrassing his pastors. Because he would show up for Wednesday night Bible study and they would not have anything prepared.
Yeah.
They would be shooting from their hip, maybe.
Not good. Not good.
And if you're doing that little preparation for Wednesday night, you're not casting a vision.
Right. Right. That's something. It's good. Victor, you got more thoughts down there?
Nope.
Okay.
Do y'all have a Bible study at y'all's church, Victor?
Yes, sir. Several Bible studies. Yes, sir. That's good.
We have a few.
That's good. So I really think, and just throw out a couple quick ideas before we wind this one out. I think it's good for you to have your core people, leadership team, however you call them, whatever you call them, your helpers, know the vision enough to repeat it. And even when you're making announcements, your announcement time at church, why do you have small groups? Why do you have Sunday school class? Why are we having a cookout at the pastor's house this afternoon? Because we want to reach lost people and raise up a biblical community. And this builds unity in our church and gives us an opportunity to invite a guest into that, right? So we can use almost everything we do should somehow be able to be tied back to a purpose and help them with that. And then I also think you can have your leadership team take a piece of your vision, whatever that is, that they're passionate about, and say, hey, next Wednesday night, prayer meeting, Thursday night, Bible study, whatever, small group we're doing, I want you to share a 5-minute devotion about this part of the vision. Just what your heart's about that, and give us all some scripture. Now, that guy or gal has tremendous ownership in that moment of the vision, and it's not you telling church, here's what we're doing. It's someone else saying, this is what I love to do with our church and why I love our church being that. So bringing other people along in your leadership team and having them emphasize the elements of your vision and the specifics of it, or definitely when your church accomplishes something that's in your vision, we're supposed to take the gospel further this year. Well, you know, I've got one of my young guys who just decided he's going to start taking everybody. He's taking the church van to jail every other Saturday now. And I'm so proud of that, man. And he's actually telling the women, you need to come to the women's jail because I'm going to men's jail. And we're not preaching there. We're going cell to cell and meeting people. And he's got our church fired up about that. I'm like, well, that's definitely furthering the gospel.
Yeah.
In a way that you know, I would have never been able to pull off. But he, with his vision of that, has been able to pull it off. So it's just a way for me to get him to highlight what his passion is now. And he owns it, you know. So he's owning our vision, and I can use him as a stepping stone to say, you know, hey, talk to everybody about what you're doing now on Saturdays. And it's beautiful, right? So having your people participate in that, trying to keep everybody focused on that, and then just remember the old saying from leadership seminars for years, vision leaks. So you can tell them this week what it is, and they won't remember it for nothing by next week. So it's not a bad idea to have it on a poster, have it on your screens when they come in, repeat it in the service, repeat it for your offering. Why are we taking an offering day? Because we're trying to reach lost people and raise up a biblical community. Whatever your vision is, you know, try to repeat it as often as you can so everybody gets caught up in it. That make sense?
Yep, perfect sense.
All right, guys. We all are awesome. Thanks for listening today. We appreciate you being here. And we really would like to ask you to share this podcast with some other people. Hit that share button. And then if you're on an Apple device, we'd really like you to hit the stars. Give us 5 stars or 10 stars or 30 stars, however many you can give us. And we would appreciate that. Hope you guys have a great afternoon of ministry, great day of ministry, and we'll see you back here next time.